weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home. Cambridge
105. The Gadget Guide.
And we say a very good evening to Rob and to Lawrence. Hello, guys.
Good evening.
Good evening, Julian.
Welcome along to Gadget Guide number 104. This week we're going to be talking about Bluetooth audio, so Bluetooth headphones. You might have used a Bluetooth hands-free kit or maybe even linked up your phone to your car hi-fi system. All of that in a few moments. First of all, though, the tech news, what's been going on in the last couple of weeks or thereabouts. Let's start off with a bit of security, because this normally rears its head at least once or twice. WordPress, if you're a follower of blogs, or even, to be honest, more and more websites, you might have noticed a few of them have been defaced in the last few days, last week or so. And this came down to basically a dodgy update. They released WordPress version 4.7 earlier in January. Unfortunately, that went out with a security problem in it that could let anyone without logging in update a blog post. Someone discovered that. They did patch it, but it's taken people a little bit of time to update their sites. If you run your own WordPress site, you want to make sure that it's up to date.
Yeah, now if you've got a WordPress site, it's worth logging into your dashboard frequently, because WordPress do update the dashboard and tell you if there are vulnerabilities now. So the newer versions of WordPress tell you straight at the top of your dashboard there's a new version out and how to update it quickly. Also, the other important thing is run backups, and there are a lot of free plug-in tools that can do a backup and copy your backup to Dropbox or OneDrive, so that you've got a copy of your website in case it gets defaced, but also do a backup before you do an update.
Is it sensible to have an automatic update click in, or could that cause other problems, perhaps, you know, breaking your site unintentionally?
I think it depends a little bit on how you run your site and how you manage it.
The type of plugins you're running as well, and if you're doing any e-commerce, make a bit of a difference.
Yeah, so certainly if it's maybe a personal blog, you've not done a lot of customization to it, then yes, definitely have the auto updater enabled. It'll take a lot of hassle off you. If it's maybe the kind of site that you sign into once a month to check on, definitely just put that on auto update. If it's something where you've done a lot of work to customize it, you maybe want to review the new versions as they come out.
Yeah.
But if you do make that decision, make sure you're doing it regularly. WordPress now will email you if there's a security vulnerability if you register on their WordPress.org site. Interestingly, with this one, it was sufficiently serious that Google were actually emailing site owners. So if you've got your site registered with Google Webmaster Tools, they were emailing people to say, by the way, we've spotted you using this insecure version. You really want to update. Certainly several of the sites I was involved with did lose one of their front page posts. Easy enough to restore in this case, but it shows just how easy it was to happen. And those were sites that updated probably only 2 weeks ago.
Yep. Anyway, moving on to other security that might affect a lot more people, WhatsApp. Claiming to be one of the world's favourite messenger platforms on mobile devices, have just turned on, finally, two-factor authentication.
Now, the concept behind two-factor auth is normally said as something you know, in other words, a password, and something you have. Now, that might be a mobile phone. A lot of two-factor authentication solutions will send you a text message when you try and log in, or it might be a token of some description. If you work in an office, you might have a little key fob that shows a six-digit number that changes once a minute, or you might have something you plug into your USB socket, for example.
Yep. Whereas what WhatsApp have turned on is their two-factor authentication to send a text message to you every time your phone number is registered with WhatsApp. So it basically stops someone trying to pretend to be you with your number on the WhatsApp platform.
Definitely something to look at. A lot of the other providers are doing it. Facebook now have two-factor authentication. They now support the U2F standard, which is a very nice little thing, a little plug-in key that just goes in your USB, you press one button and it does it. Dropbox, as you say, Google do it.
Yep.
GitHub, if you're in software development, do it.
And
more
if you're,
and more
if you're
services.
An enterprise customer user and you use things like Salesforce and Office 365, there are ways of securing those as well.
Yeah, so especially these very high-value things. Certainly, if your email is compromised, you've got problems. Similarly, if your Facebook or Twitter accounts are compromised, Twitter are also allowing two-factor auth. You know, if you rely on these services, seriously consider securing them.
Yep. Moving on to slightly different type of security, and this is security of the doing things not quite legal variety. Lots of people have heard of Kodi, which is a great media streaming platform, and there are Kodi boxes you can buy, plug into your telly, allowing you to stream media content. Problem is, there have been some people who've managed to write a few add-ons for Kodi that have done slightly less than legal content acquisition methods.
So this is presumably downloading content that you don't own or that you haven't licensed.
Yes, and it's not only things like movies and TV shows, it's also premium sporting events and live pay-per-view events that have been pirated this way. And there's been a bit of a crackdown in the last couple of days, and apparently the Federation Against Copyright Theft have managed to get a few raids done.
Okay, and, interesting. Not that common that you see enforcement action on copyright, is it? In the consumer sector, at least.
So they've managed to have a bunch of raids, arrested quite a few people, and it's thought that this particular ring that they've broken has made over £250,000 in sales of dodgy boxes.
Now, by the sounds of things here, they're going after the people who are selling these rather than the consumers who are buying and watching it, at least in the first instance.
Although the thing is, because it's all digital delivery over IP, that is traceable. Because all they've got to do is get hold of where the source is, and they can find out who all the clients are. And you're not necessarily going to be protected by things like VPN and so on, because the streaming stuff doesn't always work on VPNs, and there are ways to trace people.
One to watch out for. Okay, wearable tech now. Android Wear, their smartwatch and other wearable devices platform. That's due for a version 2 soon.
So yes, Google just announced Android Wear version 2 and a whole lot of updates on the platform. So they're changing a lot of features. They're allowing applications to run on the watch without it being near a phone. So a lot more stuff can run without your phone having to be near you.
And I spotted as well as part of this piece, the phones don't normally have connectivity to the internet apart from via your phone in a lot of cases. Yeah. So what I've noticed is that they now bring the AI, so the voice recognition tech, they're actually bringing onto the devices.
Onto the watch, yep.
And that means that things that the Android equivalent of Siri or Cortana, but
Alexa.
Is it Alexa on?
On Amazon Echo, Alexa.
Sorry, I was thinking on Android.
On Windows.
On Android. It's, they don't have a name.
Okay, Google.
Yeah, it's not as personable.
No.
But that now runs on your watch, which means it will work even without an internet connection.
So you'll be able to get your watch to do things for you. But also they're driving a lot of stuff towards fitness applications, because fitness trackers have become a big thing, and the likes of Fitbit and so on have been selling loads of those devices. The smart watch manufacturers have all been building the sensors into their smart watches, but the software hasn't really been there. It's now getting up to date. So things like Strava, which is one of the favourite fitness tracking applications, which you can download your Fitbit data into and share your runs with other people and do virtual runs against your friends, that is coming as an app that will run under Android Wear 2 natively on your watch, allow you to track your run without your phone. So you don't have to actually go out for a run carrying your phone just to track your run.
Nice. Very good. We'll be back in a couple of minutes talking all things Bluetooth audio after the travel. Yes, welcome back. So Bluetooth audio, you might remember this starting to become a thing as, well, I guess the first car hands-free kits for phones were the awkward ones that you had wires on. Then we got a little bit better, and you did have the Bluetooth headsets that were really just for phone calls. Not good enough quality audio to listen to music. Probably something fiddly. You probably dropped it down the side of the seat.
They all predate us running things like music apps on our phones.
Yes, and this was before smartphones even.
Yeah, so I mean, Bluetooth has been around for quite a while doing that sort of connectivity, but these days with smartphones, people want to do things like listen to music on their phones. So I guess the question is, why would you run with a Bluetooth wireless headset instead of a wired headset?
This is really convenience, isn't it? It's the fact that I can jump into my car, which has Bluetooth built in, and my phone's still in my pocket, and it'll connect to the car, and I can play music out of the car stereo
system. So you're legal because you're hands-free for a start, but also you're enjoying your content in your car.
I'm also thinking time. I walked down to Cambridge Station twice this week, listening to 105 Breakfast on Radio Player, and I must have lost about 2 minutes of the show whilst I was untangling my wired earbuds.
Now, this is a little bit of a mixed bag, isn't it? Because Apple famously launched their AirPods, which are the little in-ear Bluetooth headphones, and they don't have anything at all. They're just literally the bit that sits in your ear. I'm like, oh, sorry.
That's what happens when it's wired. Yeah.
Exactly. And they pop into your ear, connect wirelessly to your phone, and there is nothing at all. There's nothing to get tangled up. But at the same time, there's nothing to catch them when they fall.
Yeah, they are a little bit small, and people are saying, you know...
My fear is I'd lose them.
Yes, they are quite losable devices. And at £159 for the pair, and you can't buy a replacement one, they're an expensive little item to lose.
Now, let's just rewind a bit, because wireless headphones, even before we got to Bluetooth, have been the thing that's been around
for even longer.
Now, Bluetooth is a bit different because it's a digital standard, which means that, generally speaking, it either works or it doesn't.
Yes, and also it means generally if you buy something that says Bluetooth, and certainly A2DP is the letters to look for, means that you can do music over that connection.
Yes, that's something, Advanced Audio Distribution Protocol, I think
something
it is.
Something like that, yes.
And that's the thing that means music versus telephone.
Speech and telephone calls, yes.
Yep.
So that's the important thing if you're looking for phones. So, I mean, things that you might want to use your headphones for, if they are wireless Bluetooth headphones, are things like phone calls.
Yeah. So yeah, they can act as a normal phone handset as well.
Not all Bluetooth headphones can do phone calls.
Oh, really?
So you can get some that haven't got a microphone built in, but you want to make sure it's got a microphone built in if you want to use it with your phone to do things like phone calls as well. Obviously, we've spoken about music from the phone, but other things you might want to use it for is you might want to pair it with your tablet. Now, all tablet devices, be they Amazon's Fire tablets, be they iPads, be they Android tablets, can do Bluetooth and work very well with headphones, Bluetooth headphones.
Now, on Bluetooth, it's obviously wireless. The sort of ranges you get are different to, you know, you can't, for example, leave your phone sitting at home and go down the shops and have these work.
I mean, realistic distances are about 30 metres in the clear. So that means 30 metres between you and your device, nothing else between you. So a wall counts as a pretty good barrier against Bluetooth
signals.
Probably
10 metres or something,
so
yep.
In your house, you know, if you had your phone downstairs and you walked upstairs with your Bluetooth headphones, there's a good chance you'd lose the signal.
But if you're out jogging and you've slipped your mobile device in your pocket, for example, that wouldn't break the signal?
No.
That sort of thing should be fine. It's the personal space
kind
of area. It's stuff that you could potentially reach out and touch, probably. And if you left it on the kitchen table and wandered next door, then that would be probably fine as well.
The next room will probably work. So other things, you know, laptops these days have got Bluetooth in them as well, and quite a lot of them can play music that way, as well as even desktop PCs. Now, one thing a lot of people might not realise is things, if you've got an Amazon Fire Stick or a Fire TV or an Apple TV, all of those can do Bluetooth as well. And you can pair your Bluetooth headphones with your TV device to enjoy TV late at night and not disturb the neighbours with a pair of Bluetooth headphones. Great for lying in bed if you've got a TV in the bedroom.
Now, if you've got a pair of headphones, can you only connect them to one thing or can you connect them to more than one thing?
So this depends, again, on the Bluetooth headphones. So some can do multi-device pairing. So I've got a couple of examples here on the desk of types of headphones. But depending on the manufacturer, they might have been able to put the technology in so it can talk to your phone and your tablet at the same time.
Right.
Okay. So it will go connected to phone and connected to tablet. And then whichever one's playing music will actually get the headphones to play the music. If you start playing music on the other device, it will switch.
Okay, so you don't get both of them. You get basically
one at a
time.
Switch between one at the time, but both can be connected at the same time. So that's quite clever.
If you don't have that sort of capability, can you still be, because the first thing you do with any Bluetooth device is that you pair them.
Yes.
So that's, you take your device and say, okay, this device here, I want to be able to talk to this phone here.
Yeah.
And there's normally a setup process.
So normally the setup process is you turn on the device and you put it in what's called pairing mode. And that basically starts transmitting a I'm here signal. Now, some of them have even got things like near field communication. So this is like your chip and pin contactless card where you tap your card to go. Instead, there's a contactless chip in the headphones and you tap your phone or tablet.
So you just bring them together.
You bring it together and that will pair the device. If you're not doing it that way, you'd search on your Bluetooth menu for devices and hopefully your headphone manufacturer will come up, so it'll say whatever headphone manufacturer, and you'll just tap on that and it'll connect.
And you have to do that every time or just one time?
You do that once for your phone, you'll do it once for your tablet. So you'll do it once for every device.
Okay, that's fair enough. You just don't want to, you know, spend the time uncalling your headphones, sorting out the Bluetooth connections instead.
Your headphones will remember what they last talked to.
So if you're looking at buying something like this, what sort of cost? Presumably this is going to be more expensive than a normal pair of wired headphones for something of a similar quality.
You'd be surprised. So, I mean, I've got a little pair of in-ear headphones here, which are Bluetooth. So they do have a wire between them.
I was just going to say, it does have something to hold it around my neck.
Battery pack in the middle, which has also got the microphone in. Now, those ones start at around £15.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, it depends on if you like in-ear headphones, little earbuds, or if you get on well with them, as to whether you'd go for those. Now, moving on from those, you can then get over-ear ones, and certainly ones that I'd recommend are the Bluedio range, mm-hmm. available on generally Amazon, but also in the likes of Currys and PC World. Now, their T2S start at £25 for over-ear headphones, and their T3, which are very nice, are £30.
Okay, so we're not talking an awful lot of money for some reasonably decent headphones.
I've tried a friend's T3s. They are very nice. They're very comfortable. And he reckoned you could get easily a couple of days of listening, you know, a few hours a day. So they reckon about 8 hours life of the battery.
And this is, of course, always a consideration with something as wireless, is that you do have to charge them up. Yeah. And that means that you have to keep your phone charged and you have to keep your headphones charged.
Yes, I mean, it's also worth, when you're shopping, looking at what the charging options are. So if it's a USB charger, great. We've probably all got a USB charger that we can actually plug our headphones
same
in
one
to
as your
charge
phone.
Them. Yep. And they'll all generally come with a cable, at least, to plug into a USB to charge them. But you want to know things like how much battery is left in them. So how do you actually tell? Is there a little light that changes colour? Or some of the smarter ones, this pair of Bose I've got on the desk here, will actually, as you turn them on, it'll say battery, 100%. Or it'll give you a percentage and tell you how full the battery is.
Very good. So if you put them on to go out for a run or something like that. So one thing I noticed on some of the earlier Bluetooth headsets that I tried is that there was a little bit of a delay, which it doesn't matter if you're listening to music. Obviously, if you're listening to the music, it just starts a little while later. But if you're watching a video, then that can sometimes end up with the sound being a little bit behind the video. So the lip sync, your lips don't quite move at the same time as you hear the words.
So a lot of that seems to be dependent on quality of the electronics. And unfortunately, this does mean that if you want something that's going to be good to use, you're going to have to pay a bit more for that. So I've certainly tried sort of £30-40 Bluetooth headphones with things like the Amazon Fire Stick and found, yes, like you said, a bit of latency and you can notice the lips are not quite in sync. When you get up to the more than £100 type headphones, so you're starting to look at things like Bose SoundLink at £190 or their their noise cancelling ones at £290, those suddenly the electronics are better, the processing is faster, and things stay in sync. So it does depend on what you're going to do. If you're going to watch entertainment content like that, it is worth trying them out, seeing how they perform. So find a high street shop that actually sells them and try them out in those sort of environments.
So maybe if you're going for something to listen to, some music or some podcasts on the train, then
start from £15.
Start from £15.
£30 for over-ears. If you're wanting the high-end entertainment stuff, yeah, start looking at spending a bit more for those. Other things to look at, useful accessories-wise, has it got a wire, and can you plug a wire in for when the battery's running low?
Yes, that is very true. And also plugging into devices that don't have Bluetooth.
Exactly. Of course, manufacturers seem to be dropping headphone sockets right, left and centre, so Bluetooth is going to be the way to go. Does it come with things like a carrying case? Does the manufacturer offer any nice accessories? Things to look for when you're buying your Bluetooth headphones.
Very good. Well, we'll be back in a couple of weeks on the 24th of March, and we should have a special guest in there.
Is that special guest?
Yes, we should have Mr. Eben Upton of the Raspberry Pi Foundation should be joining us then.
For Gadget Guide number 105, when the Pi turns 5.
Oh, it's appropriate,
five.
Yes.
Gosh, it's all very, very appropriate.